domination. This is what Mark Zuckerberg would say for a time at the end of Facebook meetings. He never made any bones about it that his goal was to have the most successful company, the biggest company that would grow at all cost, even if the cost was having a positive impact on the world. Mark Zuckerberg had a drive to be successful. And as a result, he has become one of the richest, one of the most successful people in the world, perhaps the youngest self-made billionaire in existence right now. I don't know, but certainly the guy's got a lot of money, a lot of success, and he has had a very powerful impact on the world. Love him or hate him. Now, what is it that produces successful people? Are we talking about genes? Are we talking about the family? Are we talking about education? And of course, I'm a teacher, but I do believe that education is critical in producing somebody who is going to be successful, who is going to be a leader. And I don't think that Mark Zuckerberg's education can be overlooked. And of course, today in the public education system, there's such a push for STEM education, science and technology and math and the like, all of those things that kind of scare me, really. History is in a lot of ways just designed now to pass on trivial information, but in a way that supports the development of good writing. So history is really only good for the extent that it passes on this body of information that other people have deemed important and gives superficial coverage, but enough that a student can write an organized essay. And then, of course, there is the popular understanding of history that I hear so often, that we need to learn history so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. Now, anytime I hear that, now granted, sometimes I just let the person say that because I don't want to get into it with them, but really, to me, nothing could be further from the truth. Because for me, history is inspiration. History is me as a sixth grade boy listening to my teacher talk about Hannibal crossing the Alps and beginning the Second Punic War. And I felt like, wow, I was filled with wonder. And to me, it's this wonderment that makes history valuable. That, you know, we're learning about people who were great, and I can be great. But I don't think that's really how most people learn history these days. And in fact, a lot of times they don't have time. I know my buddy Mr. Gomez was telling me that he has one day to teach ancient Greece, one day to teach ancient Rome, because after all, they already learned that in middle school. And I see that the standards in my own state really discard Greek and Roman history, this classical history, at the high school level. So at the age when students can really learn something substantive, they're not learning about these classical civilizations. They're not learning about this history that was preserved for over 1,000 years by hand, that was deemed so important that people would handwrite it to preserve it. And instead, all of this more recent history that really hasn't been filtered, really hasn't taken a great deal of effort to preserve, and to me, really isn't all that exciting. Now, I teach a course in modern European history that starts with the Renaissance. And admittedly, when I was coming up, I really didn't think that the Renaissance was all that important. I felt like, what is the big deal with these people painting naked people? I know, Patty, nudes. But I thought about it's just a bunch of naked people to me. Now, it wasn't until I was in grad school that I read a book. Imagine that. I read a book. I had to read a book. And this book was about, you know, the Renaissance and really explained what it is, how the Renaissance, you know, this renascere, this rebirth. It was about the rebirth of interest in the cultures of ancient Greece and Rome, that these classical civilizations that had represented the pinnacle of human refinement and civilization, that this is what we should base this new civilization we're creating, this modern world. When the Renaissance historians decided that we are entering a modern age and our template is the ancient world, the classical civilizations of ancient Greece and Rome. And people are coming to the conclusion that this stuff happened such a long time ago that this stuff is irrelevant, that really we need to be, teaching just modern history and the basics otherwise, and training people to be employees and to follow orders and to be good, obedient citizens. Now, that's not the education that Mark Zuckerberg received. Mark Zuckerberg went to Phillips Exeter Academy, which is one of the preeminent prep schools in the United States. You pay money to send your kid there, and your kid is getting ready to go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, or another school of that caliber. And while Mark Zuckerberg was there, he learned Latin. He learned the history of ancient Rome. And just as it did me, I was very lucky to have a teacher in sixth grade that was willing to actually bring this stuff to life, because that's what made me fall in love with history. And Mark Zuckerberg fell in love with the person of Augustus Caesar, and this became his model. This became his hero. And I think the idea of history as heroic cannot be overstated, because when somebody has heroes, then they are giving themselves permission to be great, not just to follow orders from somebody else or to do whatever, just to live like somebody else's way, but to live their own way, to make an impact, and to do something great. And so Zuckerberg said about Augustus in a recent profile in the New Yorker, "You have all these good and bad and complex figures. I think Augustus is one of the most fascinating. Basically, through a really harsh approach, he established 200 years of world peace." Now, Augustus was someone who brought to an end nearly a century of civil wars in Rome. Marius versus Sulla, Caesar versus Pompey, Antony versus Octavian, who then reinvented himself as Augustus once it was over. But the Roman Republic had failed. It was falling apart. And Augustus put it back together. Now, Augustus also took revenge on political opponents and got rid of them. Of course, that was kind of Caesar's mistake, is that he forgave everybody who'd fought against him. Augustus learned from that. He did some harsh things. He banished his own daughter. He also, it says here in this New Yorker profile, he was suspected of arranging the execution of his grandson. And so this is Zuckerberg's role model. Now, the thing is, I think that there is a lot more to be had from humanistic education, and you could read Cicero and other great people who were more virtuous in the traditional sense. But the thing is that Zuckerberg, looking at Augustus, saw that somebody can come in and bring order to the chaos, and maybe that person does some things that are morally ambiguous, let's say. But at the end of the day, the end justifies the means. Now, sounds very Machiavellian. I think Machiavelli would approve of Augustus, this whole idea that a leader is the person who will do what must be done. Now, you could say this is incidental, okay? Maybe, just Richie, you're putting too much importance on this, but hear me out, okay? So, first of all, look at how he wears his hair. Mark Zuckerberg has always worn his hair like a Roman emperor. So when I read this article, I was like, oh my goodness, that explains it. He presents himself that way. You look at him and you look at these statues of Roman emperors, somebody chooses how they wear their hair. And he wanted to look like this person. One of his sisters is a self-described Silicon Valley-based classics scholar. So Donna Zuckerberg, far from just having a hero, chose to study classics, got a degree in it. And so, this runs in his family. Now, in 2012, Mark Zuckerberg, a billionaire who could have taken a honeymoon anywhere, takes his newly wedded wife to Rome, where she proceeded to joke that she felt like there were three people on the honeymoon. Him, her, and Augustus Caesar, who seemed to be in all of the photos. You know, Zuckerberg wanted to go around and, you know, take pictures with Augustus. And then they named their second daughter August. So on top of everything else, even naming your child, and a lot goes into naming your child. Now, I say that as someone whose child is named randomly, but a lot of other people actually put some thought into naming their children. And so the thing is that Mark Zuckerberg, think what you want about him. I mean, I wouldn't call the guy evil, but this guy did something. Okay, he created something, and we may be able to critique it, but at the same time, I think that, you know, it has brought us into another age. It has created a way for people to be in touch with each other, and it all comes down to someone's ambition. When you think about it, even Julius Caesar, his own ambition, when, you know, you think about the story of Caesar when he was in his mid-30s, he was crying because he realized that Alexander the Great had done so much more than he had. Now, Caesar went on to accomplish a lot and become an iconic figure in the history of Rome. But my point is that we need to think about how we're educating our students, how we're arranging for our children to be educated. Are we training young people to follow orders? Or are we inspiring young people to be great? And this is why I believe that the classical education model, this model that came from the Renaissance, which is grounded on the belief that societies change and circumstances change, but people don't change. And the best way to understand people and to become a leader is to study these heroic cultures of ancient Greece and Rome. And with that, I need to make sure that my daughter has an opportunity to learn Latin, something I never got to do. I need to make sure that she is able to study the history that inspires greatness and not just the history that teaches her some insignificant, otherwise, you know, trivial information that she can learn how to write in an organized essay. Because history is more than that. History has an effect on the present, and it is not just a cautionary tale. It inspires people to be great. And with that, I think that's the end of the current talk. It's always a pleasure.